Hello. Can you be on the line?
Hello, Mr.
Hey. How are you, dear?
Very well. Very well. Is Mr. Mitchell?
I hear him and I haven't seen him. So, if you see right now, do you access to the questions?
I'm just put you on hold temporarily and get him resolved. I'll be right back when you shut off.
Okay.
All right.
So I just want to come on to our phone call. We're all being well. We're going to be answering some of your questions. Michael is missing in action right now. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. And, yeah, what should we start with? How about just talking about current situation right now? In our reality, we are on the 23rd of August, 2012 being part of a great culmination of cycles of time. We know we're in this time-space continuum where we experience our daily realities and doing our best not to get caught up in the illusion of the appearance of things and very much grounding ourselves in the reality of who we truly are, our eternal nature, which is beyond space and time. So space and time is subject to the laws of evolution and the laws of nature. And just like everything in nature, there's cycles and seasons. And so just the way, you know, on a microcosmic level, that means on a small level, on a microcosmic level in our world, there are the four seasons, the spring, summer, the autumn, or the fall, and the winter time. So on a macrocosmic level, there are cycles of time which, instead of going for a few months, they go for thousands of years. And the Mayans, amongst other civilizations and indigenous cultures, were very good at mapping some of those cycles. But there's cycles within cycles, and what we understand is that there is an enormous cycle winding up right now. So as he does that in the time-space continuum, how that affects the time-space continuum, all space is curved. We understand that the time-space continuum has curvature. All space is curved, and that's the fabric of space-time. It's curved, and all curvature is spiral. It's spiralistic. It spirals. And so, if you can imagine like a little eddy, a whirlpool just spinning in space and time, the whirlpool is made of space and time. And so that's where we are, where we're experiencing this reality, or what we perceive as reality in this world, on this planet, in this solar system, in this galaxy, in this universe, within literally billions of other universes. Our cosmos is a whirling eddy, a spinning pot, something in this great, vast, eternal other thing. And so when these cycles wind up, everything in the time-space continuum is compressed. And we experience that compression as individuals, as intensity within us, psychic intensity, psycho-emotional intensity, psycho-spiritual intensity on the inside of us. And so that's why the internal processes, especially for individuals that are interested in navigating their depths, that are consciously healing their wounds deep within, healing their inner child, resurrecting their wonder child from the graveyard of ego, especially for those individuals that are doing that inner work on the hero's journey, which is an inner journey, especially for us. You know, we experience the intensity of these things. And right now, at this time, August 23rd, as this new moon has just kicked in and is gathering momentum, just the last couple of days, I have been, you know, holding space for individuals going through extraordinary processes, emotional processes. And the particular keynote that it's affecting is today, yesterday, and tomorrow is very Plutonic. The Pluto energies and the Scorpio energies, which are very dark and deep. And so the subconscious and unconscious is getting a kind of a bit of a stir up. And so dark forms can emerge from these depths within us, and we can experience those as, you know, strong drives and urges that might be driving you know, certain old patterns, addiction patterns, or emotional patterns that we used to play out. It can be catalyzing. This is a theme that I've been noting very much in my community. Break up in relationship, a lot of clarity about who I am, who I am not, and as who I am not literally falls away and dies, you know, quite literally this death, resurrection, rebirth energy is very, very real. And it's like, it's almost like huge glaciers or icebergs, ice cliffs just melting into the ocean, just landmass falling away like a landslide, as a huge part of a mountain, cliffs and whatever else, just fall into the ocean and disappear. Well, that's what's happening inside of us. Our physiology is, you know, comprised of the same molecules that and elemental nature that forms the elemental world. So the earth, air, fire, and water primarily, and also the ether, and of course time, space, and consciousness, which all blends in together. And so the shifts, huge shifts that are coming from deep within us, we also see showing up in the external world as well. As more and more and more of us seek to live our truth and bypass the political realm of the logical mind, of the ego mind, which sort of has a tyrannical ruler in it, archetypally and mythologically referred to as the false king. This false king has been ruling our inner world for a long time. And so we see that showing up in our outer world, where it was very obvious that tyrants and dictators and despots and those kind of kings were ruling the ancient world. And then because this became, you know, socially unacceptable, it wasn't fair, one or two people, you know, ruling over thousands and thousands of people, fueling their own selfish interests, they kind of went underground and formed political systems, religious systems that controlled, and also educational systems that programmed the people, the same kind of people that were their slaves before, programmed them to serve their own agendas. And so we're seeing more and more and more of this being exposed in the world now, and but it's a consequence of individuals like you and me and all of us on the superhero training and many other individuals as well, just really going in along that path of self-inquiry, taking that light of self-inquiry deep within themselves and illuminating parts of their psyche and reclaiming parts of their psyche that had been given away, had been abandoned in this false way of being, this old way of being that no longer serves us anymore. So it's a fascinating time we're living in. We're being compressed. This compression is going to increase the intensity of it as we get closer and closer to 2012. The intensity of it will increase as we get closer and closer to December the 21st, 2012. That is kind of like a beacon on the horizon. It has significance, especially internal significance, depending on how really and truly how much work we've done on in the inner world, individuals like us, and how that is affecting the collective consciousness. You see, there's no such thing, really and honestly, it's just our own stuff. There's only, on one level, there's only one of us here. Consciousness is a singularity. And so by working on ourselves, we are improving the collective consciousness, quality of the reservoir of consciousness in the collective consciousness as each individual turns within themselves, starts living from their heart instead of survival, gut, and ego, logical mind programming, starts living from their heart, excuse me, having the courage to live their own truth and walk their talk and speak their truth, rearrange their lives accordingly, and let go of the old ways that they've been clinging to. As more and more and more of us do that, then it gives permission and creates space in the collective consciousness for other people to do that. And what we've reached now is a sort of a critical mass. We've often heard of the 100th monkey theory. It's kind of controversial. There's a whole body of people say it didn't happen. There's a whole body of evidence that, you know, definitely validates that it did. But whatever it is, you know, like all of these things, it's really truly irrelevant whether it actually physically occurred. What matters is that something much deeper, a perennial truth, is being communicated, and that's what we need to cook the message of, you know. And if you resonate with it, it's true for you. So there's a critical mass now that's been achieved in the world, and we're hearing this from many, many, many different quarters, where, in fact, there is a sufficient number of people has sort of tipped the scales in the favor of positivity, goodness, and, you know, a positive, good, and wonderful outcome, which is the natural, which is the nature of life. It isn't the nature of life to have its children suffering in misery and disease and dying of, you know, dreadful diseases, experiencing poverty and all of this stuff. This is very unnatural. And it's an automatic consequence of moving away from a natural way of being. And obviously what superhero training is for is to allow us to fast track back into that way of being within, you know, extremely confusing times when so much upheaval is you know, appearing in the world. And you know, we need to be now able to navigate through this, and because the old part of us, the ego self, the part of us that is full of the vibrations and the recordings, the inheritance, the ancestral inheritance, that literally the recordings in the soul that are there, not just from our own experiences, but from the ancestors' experiences, the cultural conditioning. You know, we have that information stored within us. So there's a vibrational disharmonic that we are being challenged to reharmonize. And as we do that, what happens is we become much more in tune with the nature of life, which surrounds us and also fills us. This is a wonderful thing. We're like a seed. The soul is like a seed planted in the fertile soil of life, and that seed has an original nature just like the seed of a tree knows what it is, so do you. You know what it is. But as your soul, as the soul has experienced its experiences through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, what it's done is it's recorded the vibrations of its experience. And just like a tree does. So you can, I often use this example of those trees that are on the northeastern seaboard up there in Maine, where they're bent over backwards, leaning towards the inland because they've been blown with the most violent winds and storms for decades and decades and decades. Very old ancient trees. If you take
Aloha.
A seed tree. Hello, brother. Welcome, welcome. I'm just finishing off a little introduction here.
Fantastic.
So if you take a seed from that tree and you take it inland and you plant that seed, it will not grow a straight tree for several generations, no matter how favorable the environment is. And so we are those seeds. We've inherited, we've been impressed for generations and generations and generations with this discordance. But as we turn within, as we practice the practices, as we realign ourselves with our true sense of self, as we reorient ourselves away from the ego self with all of its survival fears and its logical left brain dictating thoughts, as we reorient ourselves away from that into our true sense of self, we move out of the realm where we're bound and trapped in the laws of nature. And that's what we call living in grace. And so instead of taking generations and generations and generations to bring that tree into a straight, perfect state of being again, we can do it very, very quickly. As long as we're immersing ourselves in the grace, which transcends the laws of space and time, which transcends the laws of the material, physical, and natural world. So that's what we've been challenged to do. And the more this year compresses us and winds up in its intensity, and the more we see these old forms and structures breaking down around us and feeling them dissolving and breaking away and dying within us, the more we need to be dropping into that out of this world consciousness experience and absorbing the grace, supercharging up and getting on, having the courage to live our truth, walk our talk, and truly embody those virtues and powers of what it means to be a real life superhero in the world. So very exciting times, and Brother Michael has been found, and we're welcoming you, brother, to this call, and hopefully you've got some questions, and we can take it to the next stage.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I just want to, before we launch into questions, I want to just, on what you were saying, Nick, just kind of underscore what the value in hearing that whole story, so to speak, is for us to be able to see that the amount of how not personal it is, the when we're going through the things that we're individually going through in our lives, and while we may be going through individual challenges or dramas or this or that or the other thing, what's helpful in what Nick just said is to recognize that it isn't personal. And that it's going to happen. It is happening, and we're all part of a bigger scenario of a grand evolutionary shift. And so that helps the support to get it. You know, I feel anyways, and it seems always useful when I hear other people having pretty much the same conversation I am, so that you can get out of your personality and get bigger, and see it for what it is, and move. You know, be with more grace, be able to embrace it with more grace and ease. And, you know, we can just remind ourselves of that when we find ourselves in these, you know, more dense, contracted spaces, it's a good little time for the bell to go off to be like, oh, that's right, that this is that whole thing that's happening. This isn't just me. And then we can have more power in the situation, I feel.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, Brother Michael, welcome to the call.
Hello. Yay. Thank you. Always a joy to be with the superheroes, our lovely family.
Yes, and we have some new superheroes to welcome to the call, so let's all just take a moment and send a great wave of love and appreciation to the new superheroes who have joined the family.
Yay.
With many more to come.
Such a joy to have new superheroes joining because, you know, not everyone's up for this superhero journey. In fact, this is a really unique training. You won't find anything like this anywhere in the world. And not many people can handle the truth. And so in terms of looking at themselves deeply and really making that change. So the fact that you're here listening to this call is remarkable. And I really hope everyone appreciates themselves massively because there's a lot of pseudo-spirituality around. There's a lot of, like, ego-based spirituality that just panders to the ego. But this is the real deal, dissolving the ego, freeing yourself, really changing your life very, very practically in a tangible way that you can see. And that's extremely rare, actually. And if you look around, there aren't many people who actually make any change. They might light incense. They might, you know, get their candles and all the different outer things, but their life doesn't change. So congratulations for you guys for actually being the real deal. So refreshing. So we've got quite a few questions here. I'm going to take one from who we got here? Claudia. Claudia says, aloha. I'm having a lot of trouble doing the quantum collapse process. I've been stuck on side B for weeks now, and I am starting to get frustrated. The person is my mother. And even though I do see some traits in me, there are some that I really do not see, and no one has ever seen them in me. So it makes me think that maybe she doesn't really have those traits that I've been seeing. Or my perception is wrong. I mean, I'm not even sure at this point. The thing is, I can't complete it because of this. What do you suggest? So just to refresh everyone's memory, what Claudia's talking about here, she's talking about the quantum collapse process, which is basically an extremely powerful process where you, if you're triggered by somebody and what they're doing, then you essentially look at how you are that, in what ways are you like that. Because normally when we're triggered by things, we realistically are just triggered by something that's repressed within ourselves or something we don't want to own in us. And this process is very effective to release all of that stuff and to actually recognize the benefit and the value of the other side of the negativity. How it actually served you. So it's a very deep process, and if you haven't got to that in the training yet, you will. And if you have got to that, you know, I recommend you go back to that and whenever you get triggered. And just a few minutes of going through these questions, in my experience, I remember having issues with certain people that annoyed me again and again and again and again and again for years and years, months and months. And I remember went to the beach one day, went through that process. It took me about 20 minutes. And at the end of that 20-minute process, which you have access to exactly the same thing, after 20 minutes, I came out the other end. And I never, ever since then, have had the negative triggers in any way with that person, ever. under, and she, you know, same stuff was going on, but it didn't affect me emotionally. And what she was doing that was triggering me started to get less, and I don't even know if it's even happening anymore. It was extremely powerful, so I recommend everyone does that process. But Claudia is saying that she is being triggered by her mother, but she can't see that she has any of those traits in her, and so she's wondering what's going on there. I'd like to hear Nick and Taylor's opinion on this, but from my perspective, you're probably missing something here. Be open to any amount of it. You know, it's like you don't look, let's say I don't know what your mother does that annoys you, but she probably does certain things that are in an extreme form, and you might do them in such a small amount that it's not noticeable to you, so you can't consider it as real. But I think if you look deeper and you look at things related to that trait, it might not be that exact thing, it might be things near it. You know, like some people don't get jealous, but they might get angry, you know, which is similar to jealousy. It's a different thing. You know, they might be greedy. You know, so there's things related to the traits that you don't like that you do have. And also your mother has a various negative traits that trigger you. So if you can go through the list of what annoys you about her, go find out the other ones, then you'll get a better idea and you'll find some of those. Because, I mean, most children have many traits from their parents in various ways that are not obvious to some people, but really obvious to other people. And most women who I've personally got close to, they often have done things, and I kind of wonder why have they done that? And it seems very out of character. And I realize once I have heard their mother speaking on the phone or something, or seen pictures, I know that it's their mother coming through them when they do those certain things. And I find it very strange. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if you have some of it coming through, but it's not that obvious. So my recommendation is to look at the other things that trigger you in her and find them, and also look at things related to what she's doing. Look at it a bit deeper and then go to that. And also, this process is really in similar to Ho'oponopono, so you could also do that. You know, it's almost the same. It's like a different angle on the Ho'oponopono session. So you'll find it powerful. The main thing is go deep, go deep, go deep. You know, we don't like to look at our negativity because it's a bit embarrassing sometimes. But as you see it and accept it, it just disappears.
I'd like to add something to that as well. I'm sure Taylor's got a real piece for this. But what really just flashed into my mind as soon as I heard that situation was basically the superhero training. There are different tools that help us to fix the same problem, and not every tool is for everyone, and not every tool works on its own for everybody. So what I instinctively felt was that a key missing ingredient here to help this process along, which Michael's describing there, is because that is very effective. Obviously, you know, many people have found that extremely effective, is the love energy. You see, the key to it all anyway, and this whole thing about shifting out of your ego-centered self into your eternal inner nature and your true sense of self, a big key is dropping what Hawkins calls positionality. So your position on the situation, I think this, I think that. A key to it is dropping that, literally surrendering that. Absolutely. Now, you can't do that without a sufficient amount of love. If you can't do it, you can't do it. If you're stuck in that, you're stuck in that. You know, anyway, we're stuck. No matter what techniques we employ, if they become kind of brittle and too mental, then there isn't the lubrication to shift us out, because all you want to do anyway is feel better. You are love itself. That's what you are. And all you want to do is love your mother, and all your mother wants to do is feel your love. That is the essential key need, and the nature of the soul. All the soul wants to do is radiate love and blessings, and improve the reality appearance. And all life wants to do is receive those love and blessings from the soul. And all we're trying to do is basically remove all of the distortions and the vibrations of toxicity and the stuff that gets in the way of that very, very, very natural process. And so if you can just bring a little more love into the mix and get the foundation with the Ho'oponopono, like Mike's suggesting, and just radiate love towards her and just get feeling, get into a place inside of yourself where you're actually in the, you know, who you truly are. You know, Einstein said we can't shift something from the same level of consciousness that it was created. And so if we can just move into that love frequency, and that alone works miracles. I can testify to that from my own experiences with my own mother. Absolutely miraculous. So yeah, get a bit more of that in the mix, and let's get the lube going, and then, you know, persevere with your quantum collapse and get deeper into that. What have you got to say, Taylor?
Well, there's no question the mother is the mother of this process, hands down. And so, you know, you may have done other people and they're like, no problem, and here you are 2 weeks stuck on your mother. Well, 2 weeks really, in the big scheme of things, is not a long time to be stuck on a mother when you come right down to it. I mean, this is the fundamental relationship. And, you know, what I agree with everything, you know, let's face it, love conquers all. So you turn on love and, well, who knows what's going to happen over there. But, you know, I found for myself with my mother, what was really useful for me, because I noticed there did seem to be this way that I could be myself with everyone very authentically and naturally, easily, but my mother. And I could feel it in my body. Like, I could feel when I'd be with her, there was just this sort of dead space or shut down area where I couldn't, like, full on, full out express myself. And so you may want to just feel into that in being with her, feel into what does it feel like there with your mother. And then, you know, what I had the special occasion of being in a van with Jeff and my mother traversing the United States for 4 months. And that was a real interesting way to work through this very quickly. And what I know, it was interesting because I, you know, Jeff was in the front, my mother was in the front, but I had to be in the back. And I couldn't hear, they couldn't really hear me. You know, mostly all they did was tell me what they wanted to eat, and I'd make food and pass it up to the front. And what I got to be able to observe was my mother and Jeff interacting. And there was always like a lapse kind of by the time I'd hear it and it would drift back. And so it was almost like I got to see a movie. I was watching a movie in slow motion of myself. And because when she would say something to me, it took a while for it to get back there, my reaction time was cut down to where it wouldn't normally have been. And it was a fantastic opportunity to really have slow motion on a lifetime of my mother and really get to see, well, what was going on there. But, you know, of course, everyone's not going to have that opportunity to be shoved in a van. So next to that, what I would suggest is to have a conversation with her whereby you say what triggers you. You know, Mom, I'd really like to have a deeper, closer, more intimate connection with you, but what I'm noticing is there seems to be this fundamental block to me doing that, and here's what it feels like. Or when you do this, I notice I have an immediate reaction and I get upset. And what you may discover is she can fill in the blanks for you. She, you know, she is your mother. She knows you better than anyone else. And I noticed when I said that to my mother, when I would tell her what I observed that wasn't working, because, you know, we had to work stuff out. We were in a van for 4 months. You know, it wasn't like I could go home or leave. And so when I would take the time to actually talk to her about what she said that would upset me or what she said that I had a reaction to, she would have a good answer that would give me a much clearer insight into myself and the whole dynamic. And so, you know, it's kind of like you're trying to sort it out all on your own, and that's nice and everything, but you got this whole other person over there that's a valuable resource to sorting this out with, and the only thing between you and that happening is a dialogue. You know, I'm a firm believer that anything can be worked out through communication, so I would start communicating. Like, the truth shall set you free. Start telling her what's true for you about being with her, with the commitment and the background that you have to evolve it. And people respond well to that. You know, I would just say to my mother, look, I don't want to, you know, we're going to be, this is month one. Like, 4 months from now, I don't want to be having this. I don't want to keep doing this. So what do we need to do to work this out? What do I need to do? What's the dynamic here that you know, I upset you, you upset me? What do we need to, you know, let's talk this through. And the only reason people don't do that, in my experience, in observing particularly family relationships, is because we get caught in these old patterns and dynamics of reacting that are so habitual. It's like the groove is so deep there, the needle just goes in naturally, and there we are. So what I'm suggesting is lift the needle out and just start talking. You know, just start asking questions and start sharing with the commitment to evolve it. And I suspect a lot can happen really quickly. You know, instead of trying to figure it out for yourself, just include her. And she'll love that, and it'll be valuable for both of you. And possibly the whole family, because no doubt whatever you have with her is, you know, it's usually gets spread family-wide, some version of that.
That's great.
Yeah, well said, okay. Well said, well said. One little thing, just remember what I said in that introduction as well about the compression that we're all going through. And our family, the family soul dynamic, it's like an ancestral constellation of stars. The family soul constellation is you know, very intensely positioned, and is really helping. It gives you tremendous opportunity for acceleration of growth. I mean, what Taylor described there of 4 months being on the road in a little van with her mum and her husband, if that isn't compression and the opportunity for accelerated growth, then nothing is. And so, you know, this is what we're, and Mike, you know, he got his mum over here in, you know, brought her over to Hawaii, was living with his mum over here. Compression and the opportunity for accelerated growth. I just went over and actually lived with my mum, who was, you know, calling me in because she wanted to die. And she was convinced that she was dying. She wanted to die, and she wanted me to come and help her die. And so I went off and went all the way back to England and returned to that home there and moved in with her, anticipating that I was going to be helping her go through this death experience. And then having all of the, you know, the legal ramifications and, you know, the stuff to sort out. I was anticipating being over there for months and months and months. But what actually happened was the first night I got there, I stayed up pretty much all the first night when she was on her deathbed. And I prayed. I used Howard Wills' prayers. And the next morning, she was up walking around looking like the living dead. With a walker. The day after that, the walker was thrown out, and she wanted me to take her out for a drive. And I took her out driving around, and we went down memory lane, pointing to this, pointing to that, where we all grew up, this, that, all the old stories. The day after that, she was out driving around on her own, and within a couple of weeks, you know, it was definitely time for me to get out of there, because she was chasing me around and fussing around and carrying on and, you know, giving me the full Monty. So during that, between the driving around and me actually leaving, we had a very, very, very deep conversation, the deepest conversation we'd ever had, where we talked together as friends, we talked together as, you know, brother and sister souls, and it was just an evenly oriented the position. It wasn't her projecting little boy onto me, and it wasn't me projecting, you know, flipping fascist, toxic mother onto her. So, you know, it worked a miracle, like total miracle. So power of prayer, power of love, power of communication, and honesty and courage, you know, all those good things. So, yeah, I hope that's helped.
Yay. And just one last thing. Whenever I get triggered by my mother, I was speaking to her on the phone today, and I got slightly agitated at one point. And what works for me consistently is just to, first of all, remember all the good things that she does for me. What are all the good things she does for you? You know, because there's many benefits and blessings that we get in relationships. And just go back to that gratitude feeling. And then that normally just shifts it completely. And then also to realize that each person is wounded in many ways and disturbed and has physical pain. My mother is partially crippled. Her spine is all messed up. So she's in constant pain. And so when I remember that, you know, I just think what a superhero she is, that she does so much stuff with constant pain. You know, I wouldn't even want even a second of what she has to deal with. So just when you look at it from that angle, that this person is in pain, they're disturbed, plus they're doing loads of good things as much as they can, that love in the heart genuinely comes up, and that pretty much destroys any other thing, and you're just left with love and appreciation. Which is wonderful.
Beautiful.
All right. So, got another question here from, who is it from? It's from Danny in Yorkshire. She's super grateful for the session last time about getting on with her practice, and she went to somewhere that diagnosed her with chronic fatigue syndrome. And she's wondering, basically, she's surrendering it all to God, and she's doing great, but she's just wondering, should she be getting up at 4:30 still? She's been getting up at 5:30, so she gets more sleep. Is that early enough? Should I be pushing it? And she's just sending us loads and loads and loads of love. So what do you guys reckon about that?
Well, I think I mentioned this last week, if it wasn't Danny or it was someone else, and when we were talking about the child. You know, the thing is, I've witnessed this a lot in people that get up early for meditation and deprive themselves of sleep. They're just not in a healthy enough state to be able to pull it off, and they're kind of emotionally stressed and have kind of stressful lives. The chemicals that the brain secrete in deep state meditation, that specific brain chemistry is absolutely critical to our sense of well-being. And deep sleep provides us with that chemistry. And so what I would suggest is that instead of getting up early in the morning, is that you let yourself sleep, but go to bed cuddling up with the Holy Spirit, or go to bed cuddling up with God, however you want to say it. Like I do this all the time. I go to bed snuggling up. Taylor and Jeff bought me this little teddy bear. Actually, this little monkey. Like, looks like a little. He's a bright orange spider monkey, and I call him Yogi Happy. I was cuddling up with Yogi Happy last night, snuggling up. I had a really late night, and I woke up as well and snuggled up with him again. And it does a couple of things. One, it just totally nourishes your inner child, especially if you had a bit of a rough ride when you were younger. It's very important to keep nourishing that little boy or that little girl that's going to be there for the rest of your life, in this incarnation. It does that for one thing, but it also, when you snuggle up, with this great love that is imminent, it's like ever-present everywhere, and all, meditation practices do, is hopefully allow you to connect with it in a more potent way. But you can do that to a degree lying down. You can get a lot of nourishment for your physical body. You can get the right chemicals going in your brain, which is very important for your mental body. And that's going to nourish you emotionally as well to a degree. The spiritual intensity of laying down in bed, from my experiences, is nothing like being sitting up and doing proper sitting practice with a straight spine. They're just two different things. So we're not talking about hardcore spiritual practice now. We're talking about developing a much-needed foundation. If you're exhausted and you've been diagnosed with, chronic fatigue, and I live with you over there and came and gave you, a hand for a few days. I was over there in the summer when I was visiting my mum. I went up there and did a bit of service with Danny, and we had an amazing time up there, and it was just so wonderful. I really, saw what a total superhero you are. Three little children there looking after all on your own, holding down a business as well. Just amazing. So, you need that. You need that rest. You need that nourishment. So don't feel guilty about it, and just understand that you can drop into intense spiritual practice anytime, any place, anywhere, if you just stop and just drop everything and take three breaths, because your intention's already set. You're on the superhero training. You're already ascending. You're already incredible. Life's already working, has heard you and knows, God knows you're one of his angels in the world. There's no doubt about that. So the intention's already set. You are what you are eternally anyway. So you're better off having a really good, rich, nourishing night's sleep and, really getting that juice inside you. Very important for mothers with young children, especially if they've been breastfeeding and nursing. And then just stopping periodically in the daytime and just taking those three breaths and having that burning nizche, and be sure of who you are. Clap your hands together if you need to, really pull yourself together and get the focus, and just offer your heart, body, and mind, and soul to God, and just say, fill me up, and fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit in that breath, and get on with the day blazing. That's what I say.
Yay. I just mentioned that you could just don't set your alarm clock. Have the intention to get up as early as you can and just see when you wake up. Then you let your body sleep as long as it needs to. And, if you're feeling exhausted, then you want to get that extra sleep, like Nick's saying. But then you might want to go back on it. 5:30 is fine. If you're going to bed early and you're getting, 8 hours sleep, 7 or 8 hours sleep, and you wake up naturally after that time, then that's perfect. Then you wake up refreshed. You don't want to get too much sleep, because if you constantly have too much sleep, then that can tire people out as well. But just go to sleep in that higher consciousness. Wake up when you're naturally, waking up without any distractions. And then you can get back on the earliest times when you're feeling more energy overall, and you can be the one to judge how you're feeling and when the time is, That's what I would say. just to add that. Anything you want to mention quickly, Taylor?
You know what? What comes to mind for me is natural chi movement. It would be rejuvenating to this whole chronic fatigue syndrome, which to me is just one of these titles, like cancer, and these other titles of the body being out of balance and needing, like Nick was saying, nourishment, but also deep recharging, deep chi, renewal, a reconnection to your true nature, getting fed, at a real fundamental level, replenishing your chi. And I don't know if any faster, more efficient way to do that and more enjoyable way, easy, effortless way than natural chi movements. You may just want to explore that, both as a way to support you in having more energy and for everything you're doing, but also just as a fundamental way to shift that whole health, diagnosis there to, really quickly.
Yeah, go for it. That's really powerful stuff. I'm a big fan of natural chi. Super powerful. Really, really magic watching the effect of that. So we have another question from Phil. Another question from Phil, and let me just get it here. Phil basically is asking a really, really good question. He says, I find it difficult sometimes when I learn something new. There's often a million other points of view to consider. And so he's a bit confused about this because the more research he does on anything, the more complicated and diverse and conflicting and contradictory it seems. Firstly, he's got two things around that. One is in session 10, the nutritional program, he started doing the raw foods, and then he was told that he had adrenal burnout by someone. And then he did research, and it said that he shouldn't be eating raw vegetarian food, that he should be eating cooked vegetables and meat. But he's still been tempted to stay on the raw food diet, but was also worrying if he was damaging his body more. So he sent some mineral hair analysis to see what's going on with that. He wants some advice. And we'll take his second question. So I'll just mention it now. We'll take them both. Second question is his intense desire for his spiritual practice, for the meditations, for his vision board, all the things that he's excited about when he starts. As time goes through, he loses momentum and is feeling less inspired and not as excited and more stagnant. So how can he get unstagnant and keep his excitement in all these things?
Well, I like to comment on the first bit.
Go for it.
Adrenal exhaustion, adrenal fatigue, a very important part of the mix. The kidneys and the batteries, and it's kind of something that's very topical at the moment. It's appearing all the way across the board. The nutritional protocols that we recommend in the superhero training is not an exclusively raw, 100% raw diet. The Natural Goodness program has a very balanced perspective based on a lot of experience and a lot of research. But the thing is, at the end of the day, you're going to have to make the decisions for yourself. Every single one of us is going to have to do that, and that's what we empower you all to do. When it comes to the adrenals, rest is very important. Getting to bed between 9 and 12 is adrenal restoration time, 9 p.m. and midnight. If you can get to bed then, it makes a huge amount of difference. Second thing, getting a really good tongue and pulse diagnosis from a qualified Chinese medical practitioner or an acupuncturist who knows their stuff and can prescribe specific herbs, which you can make as teas, which is another big part of the Natural Goodness Program, that regenerates the adrenals and the kidneys. Restores, they'll be able to identify specifically whether you're kidney yin deficient, kidney yang deficient. You can read a little research in Healing with Whole Foods. Paul Pitchford has some brilliant stuff on that. But and how that tracks back to your spleen, pancreas anyway. The whole thing is extremely complex. And the more information you get, the more perspectives you embrace, the more complex it becomes. But at the end of the day, it's extremely simple. Simplicity is your best friend in all of this. And it boils down to what is simplicity. You get plenty of rest. You want warm, nourishing, easy to digest foods going into your system. Raw foods have their place, and for someone that's in vigorous health and has a robust constitution that tends towards being a little heavy, they can be the best thing ever all year round. For someone who's in robust health and is very athletic and high energy, they can be the best thing ever all year round. For someone who is, has issues, you have to look at, seriously understand what's going on there when you're talking about adrenal burnout, adrenal fatigue, adrenal exhaustion, and understand how it's related to the other organs in your body, the lifestyle that you've been living, and how to regulate that lifestyle, not just with nutritional changes, which is in a way is kind of the most superficial in one way of speaking, but in fundamental core shifts of your way of being in a way that really, really supports it. Basically, you want to be definitely reducing the sugars in your diet. If you're still drawn to the raw foods, stay away from the high sugar, super sweet stuff, which tends to speed you up and get your adrenals whizzing more and more and more. You're going to have to look at liver, cleaning your liver out a little bit. You're going to have to look at your, be honest about where you're at with your bowel, with your liver, with your spleen, pancreas. And even with Whole Foods, Paul Pitchford is a great encyclopedia of wisdom there. But anyone that is, has issues is basically being called to understand their physiology more, to move more into that realm of understanding. And it is a complex thing, but the basic ground rules is rest, get early nights, take cat naps in the afternoon, and whenever you can, just take a little cat nap. Also, get on the Chinese herbs that are specifically for restoring the liver, and they have a balanced formulation based on a professional pulse diagnosis and tongue diagnosis, because the pathology of the body shifts week to week, month to month, and there are complexities involved in these situations which have subtle nuances that if you can identify those, or a professional can identify those clearly, such as yin deficiency, associated dampness, stagnancy in the liver, weak spleen, pancreas, low enzymatic production, all of these things, inability to absorb and digest proteins because of weak spleen, pancreas, all of these things can be identified by a professional or someone that has a lot more experience than you do. So check that out, get that information in the computer, and just start by resting more, eating less sugar, warming, nourishing, easy to digest foods, soups in the evening, lots of teas, and having your main meal in the day, and not too much, not a massive amount of raw food at any one given time, because the kidneys are definitely related to the spleen, pancreas. If you've been on a lot of cooked food in your life, especially a lot of carbohydrates, your spleen might be, worn out with its enzyme production. Take enzymes as a supplement to meals and in between meals, and get those Chinese herbs sorted out. That would be my advice for that.
Fantastic. So let us know, Phil, how that goes when you do the things Nick's just mentioned. I'd love to hear your improved health story. And the other question about maintaining, you know, your excitement about all the things that you do. That's a very deep question. It's a very good question. This is very common. A lot of people start out all excited and then gradually it dithers away. And one of the reasons that it gets less is because there's a few reasons, but one of the big ones is that the ego initially gets excited about things because they're new. And the ego loves anything new, and that's just how it is. So when something is new, you get a new thing, you get a new anything new is like wonderful to begin with, but sustaining it over a period of time starts getting a bit wary. So there's a few things you can do about that. First thing is to refine what you're doing. Don't just do the same meditation for like days and days and days and days and days and days and days. We've got so many different meditations on the Superhero Training because we want you to be fresh. So understand that there is power in repetition, but there's also a need for variety in life. You know, you can't have the same tasting food every day. You'll get bored of it, you know. Even your favorite meal, once you've eaten it every day for 5 years, you'll hate the stuff because it's too much. So break it up a bit so that you do different meditations that you like and bring in newness. You know, like put this into your mind. What experiences are you looking for? And, you know, when it comes to, you know, meditation experiences, what do you want to feel? Do you want to feel liberation, peace, love, more joy? We've got different meditations for different things. You could also try the binaural beats, which is different again. It'll shift your brain waves. You've got those. There's the Eternal Freedom course, which has got lots of different meditations in it. So there's a great number of different meditations. And there's Taylor's sessions. You could listen to one of those that is on the website. So there's I think there's bound to be about 10, if not 15, different meditation type experiences, probably more than that, and binaural beats on the program. So just take your pick. And I'd like to hear thoughts, Nick and Taylor's thoughts on the vision, keeping the vision exciting. What's been your experience on that so that you don't get stagnant on the vision and the mission?
I just want to say a quick thing before I give it to Taylor, because I know she's going to go off on this. But one thing that came to mind, Phil, if there's any boredom, I'll tell you when my experience is. When I'm engaging someone in a meaningful way, when I'm having a deep conversation, when I'm actually making a difference and adding value to someone's life face-to-face, I feel fantastic. If I'm not engaged with someone or something, if I'm not working on the land, and if I've gone a day without really connecting with someone in a meaningful way, and I've kind of been stuck on my own doing some mundane things, in no way do I feel as good. My life, I feel like it's like I heard the big wave rider, a guy who rides giant waves. When the waves aren't pumping, when it's just kind of small waves, he feels like a dragon slayer hasn't got any dragons to slay. You got to find that thing, that one thing that really juices you up, bro. And I think with you, it's people. It's like connecting and having meaningful, deep conversations, getting out there and just connecting with people and getting into that heart, soul space, finding the way to really connect, have meaningful experiences, and really add value to their lives. And that you're not bored with that. There's no boredom in your life. You're so fulfilled and satisfied and sitting down to meditate at night, you know, it should be an absolute joy because you're just communing with the higher love. It's nothing to do with the mental processes. You're communing with the higher love, and it should be an experience of being in love. And there's nothing boring about that either. It's always new. If you're doing it right, if you're really connecting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the love of God, it's always new. It's never the same. It's always refreshing. It's always new. It's always just the best ever. That's why we call it the best day ever. It's the premises, living the greatest love story that's ever been told, constantly having the best day ever, the best experience ever, because of that newness that comes from the other side.
Yeah, I would quadruple that. You know, I was trying to, I know you said I was going to go off on this, but I'm like, ooh, wait a minute. I don't know that I'm ever bored. I was having a real hard time trying to imagine being bored, and I can't. In fact, I'm always surprised when someone says that. Like, it's a concept that I don't experience. So, and I suspect it's what Nick's saying is the reason why, because I love it all. And I'm, in fact, to me, there's just not enough hours in the day if there's anything that I'm a little frustrated by. And so it may be that it's time to create a whole new vision board, to just scrap all those things and start anew and afresh and with something that really does have juice in it and that you love. I don't know, for me, if there's juice in it and I love it, well, there are times that I may be challenged by something here or there, within that, it's all still exciting and new for me and an adventure, and I never know what's going to happen. And I also agree with what Nick said. You know, I spend a lot of time in service to others. The biggest part of my day isn't really moving my own projects forward, but supporting other people and moving theirs forward. In fact, the greatest bulk. And then when I, you know, if I have time left over, then I do this or that or the other thing. But, and that's endless juice. And that is the true path of a superhero. That is the highest art and passion, is being of service. It's the highest spiritual path one can take. And there you're only connected to the divine and love and being one. And that never gets boring. That's where the juice is. And I do notice it. What Nick's saying is, when I notice there's a lack of some power or fulfillment in my life, it's when I'm not being of service to others, always and countably. It's not because I haven't been in nature. It's not. There's a level at which that gives to me. You know, giving to others gives back to me in a way that nothing else, nothing it can hold a candle to, nothing. And that's why I've committed my life to it. It's what I have said my life is about, is being in service to others and the divine. That's the oath I took in my ordination. And that's it for me. That's the whole enchilada right there. And that is the best life day ever and life ever, like Nick said.
Yeah. And I've coached people on this for literally decades. I've had people say to me, well, I haven't got anyone to serve. I don't know anyone who needs anything that I have to offer. I don't have a website. I don't have a platform, and this, that, and the other. And you'd be amazed at how many people need a little help, like just getting out there. I've had so many people, their lives have been transformed just by getting out there, just walking around, making connections, having the courage to make connections. And the most fundamental thing, when you can look into someone's eyes and just radiate love and blessings to them, see them in the way that God sees them and not be projecting the way the ego sees them onto it, that is the most amazing thing, a most amazing feeling for you. You see, we're channels for this great love that wants to come through into the world, that is destined to come through in the world, that is coming through in the world, that's transforming everything. We're the channels for that, and all we're doing is purifying ourselves so that we can actually handle, purifying and stabilizing, so we can actually handle the current of the flow. And we just happen to have, you know, a structure, it's called superhero training, where we, you know, we get to send out emails, do calls, do videos and all the rest of it. Taylor has a different structure. She does a lot of calls on the phone. We do, you know, our personal stuff as well. But you don't need a structure to get the energy flowing. You don't need it at all. What you need to do is get the energy flowing. And so you can just walk around in a connected state and literally pray and bless and love everyone. Me and Brother Michael, when we were living together in Cambridge, we used to go for blessing walks just about every afternoon. And we just used to take this walk from where we live. We used to walk down the river, walk across the park, walk into town, and just literally bless everyone and bless everything all the way there and all the way back, didn't we, bro?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, they were wonderful, wonderful walks. So refreshing, deeply refreshing.
Yeah. And these are the kind of things we need to be doing. We're you know, you have a slightly tendency to be a little reclusive, Phil. And it's not a time to be for being a recluse. The yogis have come out of the caves, and they've taken wives and raised families, and they've got into it in the nitty-gritty of life, and they've maintained their yogic states and their high stages and their virtues and their powers in the muck, in the mosh pit. And this is what we're being, this is the theme, this is what being a superhero is. Not to escape, but to get into it. Not to try and get out of it, but to bring the power in and change it from the inside out. And fundamentally and essentially, without any system or structure whatsoever, you can do that by just walking around, connecting, and just radiating blessings at everyone and everything that you can find, including all the trees, animals, nature, flipping everything, and everyone gets it. And then the flow will be flowing. It's a circuit. We have to connect into the external world from the inner realms. So the reason I suspect why you quote unquote might be getting a bit bored is because you're not flowing it out into the world. You plug it in through the spiritual practice, through the meditation and that not, and then you go and radiate it. It's for giving. That's what it's for. It's for giving. If you try and keep it, you just fry and smolder and flipping well, basically essentially destroy yourself. That's what all the power crazy spiritual so-called gurus do. They fry themselves, burn out, end up crippled, broke, desolate, have dreadful scandals all around them, and all the rest of it. You know, that's what happens. So it's constantly giving, constantly giving, constantly giving on a fundamental, essential, vibrational level through your love, through your blessings that helps the circuit and gets the flow flowing and makes you feel great, amazing.
Yeah, and that's so key. That, you know, we call it, in this course that I used to lead and teach, Awakening Your Light Body, one of the very first fundamental laws of working at that level of light was the energy maintenance of, if you're going to take in a lot of light, you've got to give it out. You've got to radiate. And in fact, you know, every night after we do all day long of all this light work, all these intensive meditations, you know, just major, just boom, 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 really bringing in the light, the number one thing I'd have to say over and over again to people before they went home, make sure you spend some time literally sending your light out, radiating your light out. Just even if it's just sitting in meditation, radiating it out, it's essential. And if they didn't, you know, they wouldn't sleep. They'd come in. They're just like Nick said. They'd be ready to implode, literally. They just couldn't hold it. And now there's so much light radiating on the planet, whether you're doing light work or not. But all anyone in this program obviously is, or this training obviously is. It's essential. In fact, I can see that. You know, that's one of the reasons why we say to people, part of the prerequisite of being in the program is you have to have a desire to be of service. Why? Because we know if you don't, this isn't going to go well. this isn't going to be a good, happy situation here. Because you're taking in all this evolution, all this light, all this movement. You got to be giving it out. It's got to be a cycle. It's like, you know, it's just the natural cycle of nature. And this is essential. This is just 101 energy maintenance information.
Yeah, so true. I mean, my own experience is that whenever I do anything for service, this genuine service, I feel great for a start. And also specifically with meditation, when the focus of meditation is giving the power, the amount of power coming in is literally like times by 10 or 100 or 1,000. It's, you know, why don't we just do it for a moment now? Just everyone just take a breath and just feel the light coming in and have the aim right now, just for a few minutes, just like one minute, to just radiate light all around you. Imagine the light comes in from through the top of your head all the way into your heart and then blasts out in all directions, all around you. Just feel it coming in with the in-breath, and as you breathe out, just blast it out, blast it out, blast it out. Just allow yourself to be that channel. Seriously, seriously powerful. I always feel like literally like lightning bolts, like
yeah.
power.
Absolutely
so
wonderful. Hey, bro.
Yeah, get into that, Phil. Yeah.
I just want to say one little thing to all the superheroes listening here. We need to be playing a big game, not a little game. If there's any frustrations or boredom, it means we're playing a little game. We're trying to, you know, the ego's game, just selfish purposes. It's a small game. It all exists with limitations and boundaries, and it's difficult. We need to be playing a big game. That's a big game. When you're breathing in your source energy, when you're breathing in the power of God, and you're radiating that out and filling the entire world, filling the entire universe with your love and blessings, that's a big game. That's what you're here to do. You're here to step into your hero part, your superhero part. It's nothing to do with the little game. That's a disguise. We're here to play the big game. That's our job. That's our mission. That's our full-time mission and purpose, playing the big game. And I hope you all experienced how wonderful that felt, just as we walked that little experience that Mike just led us through. Because that was juicy, juicy stuff. Instant happiness, instant joy, instantly getting real, playing the big game.
Yes. And Phil, you know, you can look at your vision board again and just think to yourself, you know, how can I add more value? How can I help more people? Just refine it. You know, if your vision board isn't exciting, it's because it's not up to date. It's not to do with serving others. It's, you know, something needs to change to get it juiced up. And you can just pull the, you just pull stuff off, you know, just take, look at it again, right, your vision board, and think to yourself, all right, is there anything here that is not like zinging with power and like really, really exciting, and just pull it off. And I can tell you, every time I pull things off my vision board, I feel this massive power coming over me as I pull things off. And that opens up a vortex, you know, and for there to be new things to come on, you know. It's a very deep process, all this vision board stuff. So you want to be always refreshing yourself, refresh, refresh, refresh. And also, sometimes you just need to go for a walk or a run or jump around or do natural chi or, you know, jump on the rebounder or something. Shake your body, you know, dance about a bit. And that shifts the energy, you know. So, yeah, and I really like what Nick just said about playing the big game. When we look at the big picture, everything seems so silly and pointless, all the little trivial things that we're worried about, and we start getting much more interested in seeing things from a higher consciousness and seeing the bigger reality and the bigger game that we're playing. And every day, like I was just here, earlier on, going to buy some random things from various random shops, and just the intention to bless the people who are putting the stuff through the register, smile at them, look them in the eyes, have that love in the heart. You know, when you just drive around and you bless everyone you see, it's extremely powerful and really brings you to a higher level of consciousness. So do all these things, and including the nutrition, and tell us next time, Phil, what you experienced, what's new and different, and we'd love to hear from you. I think that's all the questions, actually. All right, actually, yeah, that's it. If we missed any, we had some technical issues today. If we did miss any questions, we'll get address them next week. We'll just resubmit the question and we'll address it. Unfortunately, I can't go online to see if there's any questions live, but we'll take all those next time. So, thank you, everyone. Thank you for showing up and being such a powerful blessing in the world. We need people like you. I was just in Kmart, of all places. Haven't been there for many years. And just checking out the vibes. And there's so many different levels of consciousness in the world. And I really, really appreciate superheroes for being conscious, for being awake, being up for doing the work. You are very, very, very needed in this world, an extremely rare, 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 rare gem. So such a blessing to be able to serve you and share with you, and look forward to more of it in the next time. That's all for me. You guys, let's say goodbye. Any blessings you have for them?
Hallelujah. I just did what you said. It's an honor to be of service and to be in this community and continue to have it grow and expand.
Yay, keep on charging, play the big game, plug into the ultimate resource that there is in life that's closer to you than you are yourself, and just breathe it in, supercharge with it, burning this chi, be certain who you are, and then share it, give it, radiate it out. Fill the whole universe, fill the entire universe with your love. Bless everything, bless everyone. Supercharge it all up. Use your imagination in the most powerful way, and don't let it shrink down. I think the 80-20 is a good ratio, 80% playing the big game, 20% playing the little game. We've got to take care of all these little things, but we're here to play a big game. So enjoy that. Enjoy that. And just, yeah, you'll be, I want to hear from everybody about that. If you, between now and next week, play the big game and see what that does to your joy levels.
Yay. So talk to you guys soon. Lots and lots of love, and keep it up, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. Every single second you spend doing this work is invaluable, and it's going to affect your future and your present very, very deeply. So never, not a second is ever wasted when you do this inner work. All right. Talk to you soon. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha.